Our scripture reading for today, we've already had a little preview of. It's John chapter 1, but I'm going to read this a little further than we read it in our litany of healing and hope. John chapter 1 is probably, I think, the most famous of the four beginnings of the Gospels. In the beginning was the Word. And it's also one of the, I think it is the most unique Christmas story. In the beginning, the birth of Jesus. So let's read John 1, 1 through 9 together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the themes that we hear in this passage are familiar themes, particularly that theme of light and darkness. The theme of Jesus coming into the world, being the light of the world, and the darkness not overcoming him. And you see this not just in the Bible, right? You see this everywhere. Movies, TV, books. You see light versus darkness. And the examples I thought of, I shared this at the 8:30 service, apparently just out me as a nerd, because all I could think of was Jedi versus Sith and S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Hydra. So for your Marvel fans. I did get a couple good ideas of some less nerdy things. One was David and Goliath. I could actually use the Bible. another was Ebenezer Scrooge, who is not light versus darkness, but darkness that becomes light. How neat is that? As we see this theme of light and darkness, good versus evil, the bad guys and the good guys, throughout basically every type of media that we experience. It's a tale as old as time. And so it's not surprising that we find it in the Bible. But in the Bible, it has a slightly different connotation. When John wrote his gospel, one of the philosophies that was in the air was the philosophy of Gnosticism. And this highlighted the importance of secret knowledge and wisdom. There's a hidden layer of reality, this light versus darkness battle that's raging if we have the eyes to see it. And in that context, John presents this picture. If there is a battle of light versus darkness, which side is Jesus on? And consistently, Jesus is the side of light. And I love this metaphor of light. It makes so much sense, and it goes so deeply. Because what do we know about light and darkness, right? We know that light brightens up a space. It illuminates things. It makes things legible, visible. It stops things from being able to hide. As sighted people, it makes us feel more comfortable because we can use that sense that we have. Think about darkness then. Darkness makes us uncomfortable if we're sighted people, right? When we're at night, we're a little bit more careful. Maybe we don't like to drive as much. We don't know what's peeking around the corner. You go to a haunted house, it's not brightly lit, right? But darkness isn't something that creeps in, and there's no anti-light that comes and fills a space with darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. When light doesn't show up, that's what happens. Light doesn't make it happen. But without light, that's what we have. And one of the beautiful things about that part of the metaphor is that when you're in a darkened space, one little light can make all the difference in the world. So I'll never forget going into a cave on a tour and getting down to the bottom, and they made us turn out all of our lights, and you can't see your hand in front of your face. And it's just total pitch black. And when one person turns on one little light, all of a sudden you can see. You can barely make it out, but you can see your hand in front of your face. It makes all the difference in the world. And here is John presenting to us Jesus as the light of the world, Jesus as the light that comes and illumines all people. Jesus comes as an incredibly bright light into a darkened space and makes the biggest difference in that dark world. And this is so important for us to consider, especially in these times when the days are shorter and the darkness seems to be growing around us, and many of us have those feelings of darkness coming to us. We remember loss. Tragedy seems to be right around every corner, just weighing on our minds. The sadness creeps in. And it's maybe different things for different people, but especially at these holiday times, we remember the people who aren't with us during the holiday. And particularly when we're grieving that loss of life, we can see how, as John said, that life is the light of our world. When life is taken away from us, a little light is taken out of our lives as well. The world gets darker. And you know, this isn't just true at Christmas. This is true throughout the year, birthdays and anniversaries and other holidays. And it's easy to get caught up in the idea that Christmas is supposed to be joyful, and that if you're not joyful, you're somehow doing it wrong. But here's the thing. As Christians, what are our highest callings? And the greatest commandment is that we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus tells us that we will be known by our love. So as Christians, going into a season of joy, we try to be sensitive to those who are not fully ready to embrace all of that joy. Maybe not just yet, maybe not just right now. We try to share that love by welcoming all people, regardless of where they're at. So my prayer, both as hurting people and as people trying to give care, is that we invite Christ, the light of the world, into our lives to bring light into our places of darkness and into those places of darkness in others. But we're called to do more than just pray about it. As John reminds us, we're called, I think, to follow in the footsteps of John the Baptist and be a witness to the light of Christ. Now, there are ways that we can do that that are bright and cheerful and happy. We are called to testify to the light, to share our stories of the way that the light of Christ has changed our lives, the way that Jesus has brightened up our corners of our lives. We are called to tell people about that, to not be ashamed. We're also called to live in the light. The light, when it shines, stops things from being hidden. And so we as Christians try to live in such a way that we're not ashamed to have the darkened corners of our lives brought to light. But we try not to hide, but to show with the fullness of our lives who Christ is. So it's about our speech, but it's also about our actions and our attitudes, the ways that we can testify to how powerful, how good the light of Christ is. And I think Christmas Eve is a beautiful metaphor for this as well, because at Christmas Eve, every year, every service, we take candles, and we start with a darkened sanctuary. One of the few times a year we make the sanctuary dark. And the Advent wreath is lit, including the Christ candle. And from that Christ candle, we light one candle, another, and another, each person offering their candle to be shared with a neighbor. And through that, we share the light of Christ, and we watch it spread through the sanctuary, and it brightens the space. And it lightens our lives. Just in that way, we are called not to make our own light. We don't all just get lighters out of our pocket and light our candle on Christmas Eve. We could do that, but we don't. Because we wait for Christ's light to be shared with us, and then we share it on with others. We point to someone else. And that's what John the Baptist came to do, to testify to Jesus who was the light. We share the light of Christ with other people, recognizing where it came from. We, just like we do on Christmas Eve, are called to hold out our candles in the darkness to other people. And as I think about this, it brings me back to Stephen Ministry, because Stephen Ministry does this so well. So I'm going to highlight Stephen Ministry yet again. One of the bywords of Stephen Ministry is that we are not the cure givers. We are the caregivers. God is the cure giver. In other words, we are not called to fix. We are not called to be the Christ light for other people, but to be the presence in other people's lives that might point to Christ, to allow Christ to work through us, to recognize that we are not here just to bring all the light in and cheer people up right away and make everything better, but to be with people as a witness to God. One of the books that Stephen Ministry uses is called Don't Sing Songs to a Heavy Heart. And it's all about really excellent, wise ways to do exactly that, to care for people who are going through tough times. Because if you've cared for someone going through a tough time, you know it's not always easy to do the right thing. It does take a little skill and some practice to do it right. But it's the basis of it is contained in that title, Don't Sing Songs to a Heavy Heart. And that title comes from Proverbs 25:20, which says, like vinegar poured on soda is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. I bet you didn't know that science experiment was in the Bible. I love that. We all know this. Like, the way you make volcanoes is right there in the Bible. Here's the recipe. Vinegar, baking soda. And what happens with that? It explodes. And it's caustic, right? Like, you can use that mixture to clean things off. And it's messy. It gets everywhere, especially if you put food coloring in it. Oh, my gosh. Put a drop cloth down. So that's what it's like when someone comes in and is just, oh, everything's great, Merry Christmas, and I just lost a loved one. I'm not ready for that right now. And one of the reasons it's like that is when we are grieving and someone comes in and says, oh, well, it'll be okay. You know, God just needs another angel. It's going to be fine. Everything's great. Merry Christmas. You start to wonder, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get into the spirit of things? Why can't I get into Christmas this year? What's wrong with me? And the answer is probably nothing. You are just grieving. You are just sad. And it's okay to grieve, and it's okay to be sad. And it's okay to have someone with you while you do those things. Stephen Ministry tells us to focus on bringing light to the person across from you, not on yourself. It's not about making yourself feel more comfortable. Oh, cheer up, because I don't like it when there's sad people around. We have to self-sacrifice and say, I'm here for you, to lighten up your life in a way that makes sense, to bring Christ's light to you, not to me. Because it doesn't mean something's wrong with you if you're grieving during Christmas. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't present in your life. Because remember, Jesus came not into a world that was already lit up, but into a darkened world to offer light and hope. So it is precisely into those dark spaces of our lives that Jesus most longs to enter. So I invite you to point to Jesus, who is the true light, who will not come to overwhelm, but to sit beside the individual across from you, or even you yourself, to bring a little light into a darkened space. I invite you to sit with people who are going through periods of darkness this season, and maybe allow that darkness simply to be, trusting in Jesus, who is the light of the world, to do the work of bringing the illumination, because he will. He will, every time, if we allow him the space. And this is not easy to do. So I hope that we all, when we see pathways ahead that are unclear, pray where we can't see, and allow God, who is the light of the world, to illuminate the path in front of us. Trust in God when we don't know where to go, because it is God who holds all things and sends light into the darkened world. Amen.